Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Time is 7:14, about to go 7:15. Justice of the High Court David Unterhalter joining us on the line to chat about the life of George Bezos. A very good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Good morning.
So, what was your relationship with the late George Bezos?
Well, actually, it goes back a long way because my father and George were colleagues and friends, and we used to, you know, have times together socially when I was a child. So I've actually known him much of my life. And then he was a colleague of mine when I was at the bar. And I've known him, yes, for a very long time in different ways.
It's an incredible thing that, you know, when you look at social media, there's very positive things to be said about him. But in many cases, that's not always the case. Somebody that made such a difference to the world often, is, defined because of their struggle and because of their focus. They're those that adore them and those that didn't. But yet, with his passing, we've really just seen this groundswell of positivity, of gratitude, and these themes of gentleness, of humility, just keep coming up over and over again. Was he like that both in his almost public persona as well as private?
Well, I think he was, you know, an enormously lovable man, not only a highly principled one and one that stood up for things in very difficult times where very few were willing to do so. But personally, he was just an enormously generous and kind person. And that's a pretty extraordinary combination. I don't know if your listeners know anything of George's childhood, but that in itself is a pretty amazing story. And if you have a moment, I'll
Absolutely.
Give you a brief resume.
Would love to hear.
He was born in Greece, and Greece was occupied by the Nazis, as you'll know, during the Second World War. George and his father escaped with some Australian pilots in a little rowing boat, and they were making for Crete, but Crete had fallen to the Nazis, and they were picked up by a British frigate, taken to Egypt, where George ended up in an orphanage and ultimately was brought to South Africa, where he was working as a boy of 15 years old, 14 years old in a shop, when he was actually literally discovered by somebody called Celia Feinstein, who said this boy has to be in school. And she arranged for him to go to Athlone High School, where someone called Rose Cohen actually realized what an extraordinary young boy this was, and he learnt English and so on, and then really through his own really extraordinary qualities got to university and did his law degree, and that's where he met Mandela, and, you know, his life story went from that. But, you know, he was a remarkable person who came from extraordinary adversity and difficulty to make a great difference in the world.
You know, I was telling our listeners yesterday, and in fact I didn't remember the name, and I thank you for reminding me. My wife and I sat with him at the Jewish Achievers evening, and he told that story. He then went, we were chatting at the table. He then went on stage, told that story, came back, and whilst we were at the table, a youngish guy came up quite nervously almost to the table to interrupt and to introduce himself, and it turned out that this was Celia Feinstein's nephew.
Oh, extraordinary.
And
yeah.
And it was just the most remarkable moment where these worlds came together, and it was just really just absolutely incredible. Tell us about, for our listeners that aren't aware of his role, and of course we all know the broad strokes around that he was Nelson Mandela's lawyer, etc., but maybe give us just a little bit more information and detail around that.
Yeah, so as I think everyone knows, Mandela and George were at university together and became friendly. And then during the times of anti-apartheid struggle, of course, there were a very, very small number of lawyers who were willing and did act for political accused. Now, of course, famously, Mandela and others. And George was part of the team of lawyers who defended Mandela and other now prominent members of the ANC, who were charged twice over, firstly in the Rivonia trial and then in the Treason trial. George was a key and integral part of that team. So that's probably what, you know, historically he's best known for. But the truth is that George was somebody who throughout the apartheid years was one, as I say, of a very small number of people who actually stood up for the rights of the majority of South Africans who were oppressed under apartheid. And year in, year out, you know, did what could be done, which wasn't always much, in the courts to uphold people's rights and fight for them. You know, that was an important part of what he did when he was at the Johannesburg Bar as an advocate. And then I think, as people will perhaps know, he was, because of his very close association with Mandela, when Mandela was released, he became part of assisting with the drafting of the constitution and became very, very close to the Mandela family and so on. We can talk a little bit about the post-apartheid years, but that was, in summary, George as a professional person in the apartheid years.
I would like to hear about his role in the post-apartheid years, because it's always interesting that that he's obviously defined by his time during and his struggle, his role in the struggle against apartheid. But what happened afterwards?
Well, interestingly, George never sought high office or preferment, although he clearly could have achieved it if he'd wished it, I would have thought, given his outstanding role in the fight against apartheid. But what he chose to do was to go and work at the Legal Resources Center, which is an NGO that for many, many years has taken up the rights of people who can't find legal representation for themselves, and during apartheid had brought key landmark cases against pieces of apartheid legislation, and it continued its work. Now, of course, in a much more liberated environment with the benefit of the Constitution, and George chose to leave private practice together with Arthur Chaskerson, who became the Chief Justice of the country, went to work at the Legal Resources Center, effectively, I suppose, doing the thing that he felt most committed to, which was to helping people whose rights had been adversely affected, who couldn't easily help themselves. And that, together with the charitable work he did within the Greek community and in many civil society organizations, he was in that sense, you know, a multifaceted person who contributed across the board to so many causes that he felt strongly about.
Time is 7:23. I am chatting to Justice of the High Court, David Unterhalter. We are speaking about the life of George Bizos. If you want to ask any questions, or if you do want to participate in the conversation, 34519 or 0618951019. So you mentioned that, in fact, you've known him throughout your life. Did he, what was the impact that he had on you personally?
Well, I suppose he was, as I say, one of initially a fairly small group, but increasingly as time went by, more people, and particularly people who were then young, felt that you know, the law was an important vehicle for bringing cases and changing the landscape in South Africa, and that was increasingly so in the 80s and into the transition period. And I suppose I would say that, you know, he was an example of what could be done to try and use law and legal processes to try and effect change in the country. That was an uneven and very imperfect form of engagement, but nevertheless, it made its contribution and formed part of the larger whole that I think ultimately changed the country. So I suppose that's what I would say. There's one other thing just to note about George, which is that, you know, he struggled and made an enormous contribution to the fight against apartheid, but he was not some sort of party loyalist. In fact, I don't think he was even a member of the ANC. And when matters took a turn, as they have, where there has been so much corruption and other forms of conduct that so cuts against the constitutional order of the country, he was outspoken about it. So he, in that sense, he really was a man of considerable principle, who stood up for the things that really mattered. And even when people he had been closely associated with fell from grace, he was there to speak out against what was being done to distort the constitution, which he was such an integral part of establishing. So, you know, in that sense, there's another really important feature of a person of extraordinary caliber and principle.
Absolutely amazing. If I had to ask you to maybe use three words that in your mind summarize or capture the essence of George Bezos.
Well, I would say principled, dedicated, and generous.
Really, really incredible. I could listen to this for hours. Really, really fascinating. David Unterhalter, the Justice of the High Court, speaking about the life of George Bezos. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us and give us an insight. Thank you so much. It is 7:26.